Today is kind of the conclusion as I've kind of gone through this year, filling in for Dale periodically. This is kind of like the last message I'm going to give on the book Heaven. I want today's talk to talk about heaven, obviously. What will we be doing there? But really, what should we be doing now in light of eternity? Right? I really want to get practical today. So half the talk will be about what we'll be doing there if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. But the other part is how should we be living in light of eternity? You know, the next thing on God's calendar, as far as the future, is a moment called the rapture. And we'll be caught up, we as believers who've put your faith and trust in Jesus to save you from your sins, will be caught up to be with the Lord forever. And when you think about what's next, which is the rapture, there's going to be a battle in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 and 39. And it's going to be a situation where the nations of the world, some of the heavyweights, are going to gang up on the nation of Israel. And we know of it today as the Gog and Magog situation, right? And if you've been paying very close attention to Israel, which I hope you are, there's a lot going on there. And we've got to keep our eyes on Israel. And one of the things that's happening now is not only is Israel fighting Hamas in Gaza, but now they're going up into the north there in Lebanon, and they're attacking another group there called Hezbollah. Both of these groups, Hamas and Hezbollah, are funded by Iran. And the Bible in Ezekiel 38 and 39 tells us about this battle that's going to take place. And it's very interesting, the nations that are going to gang up on Israel. And you can see it all happening as it's all coming together now. Because Iran now has been very, very shell-shocked as they watch Hamas and Hezbollah get attacked by Israel. And so what's been very interesting now that Israel has really been attacking Hezbollah up in the north is that Hezbollah has not been shelling Israel with all of these rockets that they've got. And they're loaded with rockets. And probably the two reasons why they're not shelling Israel is, number one, their commanders are dying. Israel's getting them. And so they're confused. And number two, Israel is taking out all these missiles. That's why we haven't heard in CNN and Fox of all these barrage of weapons which Hezbollah's got loaded. Their infrastructure is being crippled by Israel. So what does this all mean? Well, evidently this week, the leaders, I don't know if they're the prime ministers or what their titles were, but the big leaders of three big nations, which Ezekiel talks about evidently, Russia, Iran, and Turkey are meeting. They had a picture of these big three members meeting. And Iran now, if they're looking and seeing that their groups cannot attack Israel, Iran's looking at, hey, Russia, our boys can't do it. Hamas ain't doing it. Hezbollah ain't doing it. We need your help. And what we're seeing here is the things falling into place as Israel is going to get attacked, and God's going to spare Israel miraculously in this Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle. I tell you all that before we even get into this, just keep your eyes on current events. Keep your eyes on Israel. Because things are happening so quickly, and God's in total control. nothing of this catches him by surprise, and it's all falling according to what he has said is going to happen. So is the Ezekiel battle right around the corner? I can't say, but boy, it sure does look as things are gearing up very, very quickly. Keep your eyes on Israel. We may be standing before the Lord very, very soon. And things are falling quickly into place. So therefore, if time is short, how should we be living in light of eternity? Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I want to read this and then come back with some thoughts. Let's read the scriptures first. I'll go into some thoughts from our book, Heaven, that we've been going through, and then come back and make some final comments on this reading. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. While they were listening to this, he, Jesus, went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, listen to this, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Okay? So everybody's thinking that the kingdom of God is going to come right away. And Jesus says, let me tell you a story. Verse 12. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. Now that's a key phrase there, right? He goes to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then he was going to return back. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas, which was about 3 months' wage. And he said, occupy or put this money to work until I come back. Until I come back to set up my kingdom. But his subjects hated him. The people who, you know, didn't believe in him. And they sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. That's what our world is saying about Jesus. We don't want Jesus. He was made king, however, and returned home. Okay? So he was made king, and he comes back home, and here's what happens. He sends for the servants, these 10 servants, to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. And the first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, well, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina. I just kind of kept it laid away in a piece of cloth because I was afraid of you. Because, well, you're a hard man. And you take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. And his master replied, man, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew you did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I don't put in and reaping what I don't sow? Well, if that's the case, why didn't you put my money on deposit in a bank somewhere so that when I came back, I could have at least collected it with interest? Then he said to all those standing by, take this man's mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. But sir, he's already got 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." Now, we want to come back to this section because it's very important. So we have a story here of a man who is going away, and he calls his servants and said, "I'm going away for a while, but when I come back, you know, that's when I'm going to set up my kingdom." So that's us. We've been given by God, and we're going to talk about this. We've been given something by God. And when he comes back to set up his kingdom, which, by the way, will be an everlasting kingdom. This will be heaven. God's kingdom is going to be an everlasting kingdom, right? And he's going to say, "Well, what did you do with what I gave you?" All right? And how they behaved on this earth is going to affect how they live in the life to come. Again, we're not talking about salvation here, where you're saved by grace through faith. But as far as your service for the Lord in heaven, it's affected by how we serve God today. Well, we'll come back to this. As we think about what we're going to do in heaven, what will we do in heaven? So let's quick hit a few things here, and then we'll come back to our text. Because oftentimes people wonder, you know, are we just going to be going to church? Is that what heaven is? Is it one big church service? No, it is not one big church service. Heaven, we'll be living life. We're going to live life the way God expected Adam and Eve to do when they were perfect in the garden. We're going to be like our Lord. We're going to be on the new heaven and the new earth. We're going to be living life. We'll be honoring God and worshiping him as we live life. Now, as we get into this, we're going to ask a couple of questions. Do you think this will happen? And do you think this will happen? And don't forget that God is way above us. And sometimes, you know, our thoughts, all the time, our thoughts are not his thoughts. And that's all the time. And so we don't understand what God's doing. And some of the questions that we're getting ready to ask, they might seem a little crazy. But always ask this: why not? Is there anything sinful about what we've just said? There'll be no sin in heaven. And as we think about some of these things, what we'll be doing in heaven, think about that. Is there any sin involved? Is this sinful? Is this a sinful activity? Then why won't it be there then? Let's get started. So first off, will heaven be boring? Well, you know, God is the one who invented humor. God invented laughter. And so God has a sense of humor. And, I mean, you just live life and you look at animals and you just live life, period. And you say, man, God created this, so he must definitely have a sense of humor. And so what's happened, though, is sometimes we equate laughter and humor with being sinful. That's, you know, you got to be straight-laced and, you know, hip, 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 no smiles. And, you know, to be godly is to be very serious. You know, no smiling, no smiling. Get that smile off your face, boy. You know, and we think that heaven is going to be just, you know, we're just locked in and super serious. Heaven is going to be filled with fun. That's the way God is. There's no sin there. Satan, he likes to twist things and have dirty jokes, which people laugh at, and bad humor. And sometimes we equate some of this stuff because Satan has twisted it. But there's nothing wrong with laughter. A good joke. Laughter, the Bible says, is good medicine. It's healthy. Right? And so, man, heaven is going to be full of joy. In fact, the Bible says that in God's presence, in other words, in heaven, there is fullness of joy. You want to be happy? And in God's right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Heaven is going to be full of smiles. There'll be no more tears, no more crying. Heaven is going to be full of joy, full of laughter. The reunions that we'll have, the reunion that I'll have with my dad, it'll be full of joy. As we're in God's presence and enjoying each other's, again, heaven will not be boring. And Satan wants us to get this in your mind. Oh, heaven ain't nothing. Hey, I got the fun down here, man. You need to go to the lake of fire. We're going to go fishing, drinking a Budweiser. Yeah, on the lake of fire. Right? We're going to tell dirty jokes on the lake of fire. And that's going to be fun. And so he twists it, right? And he says, oh, God's, all he's got up there for you is one long church service. You don't want to go there. Heaven is going to be absolutely amazing as we live life on this earth. Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Complete. To where it satisfies. You know what I'm saying? You don't need no more. Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. You know, some people may think that heaven is boring because maybe our Christian lives are boring. Now that's stepping on my toes too. Maybe I'm thinking heaven's going to be boring because I'm not really watching God work in my life down here. And so I'm not taking advantage of things that God has given me. I'm not tapping into the power of prayer. I'm not tapping into to God's power to watch him work in people's lives so that he can change people's lives. So maybe my Christian life is boring, and I think, well, God ain't doing nothing down here. I guess up there it ain't going to be nothing going on up there either. Instead, God wants us to experience down here his power to get excited about what we're going to be with him forever. So that's just a quick little challenge right there. Again, Rickard, think about what you just said. What about singing? Man, we're going to be doing some singing. Now, again, it's not like it's one big church service and we're going to have one big choir. Maybe we will do that. But that ain't all we're going to be doing. But there's definitely musical instruments mentioned in the intermediate heaven, like right now. We talk about these 144,000 singing. I thought this was very interesting. In Revelation 15, I want you to catch this. It says, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them who have gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the name, stand on the sea, having harps. And watch this. And they sing, verse 3, down at the bottom. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And so what's fascinating here in verse 3 is it says they sing the song of Moses. Well, what is that? Well, that's from, look at the top, that's from Exodus 15. When they had come across the Red Sea, they sang a song of worship to God. Could it be? Now, in heaven, they're singing a song that we sang on earth. Could it be that we'll sing songs in heaven that we sing here on earth now? They're singing the song of Moses. Maybe we'll some of the songs that we sing now, maybe. They're singing the song of Moses. Maybe we'll sing songs that powerfully worship God, like Amazing Grace, like whichever song that you enjoy. Maybe we'll all join together and worship God. Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus. Maybe we'll spontaneously just join in. I got to keep looking at this clock. What about dancing? Again, remember, why not? Why not? God's not upset with dancing. Again, Satan twists things, and there are dances and styles of dancing that are not pleasing. But the Bible, Lord, you turned my mourning into dancing. David danced before the Lord. Why not? Is there anything inherently evil with dancing? No. Again, it's just we're just trying to get our thoughts going, right? Again, I can't be dogmatic on this, but why not? Right? Why not? Satan definitely didn't invent dancing, right? Satan's all about dishonoring God. But God's all about being worshipful. And if you're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you, David danced before the Lord, right? What about drama, art, various types of entertainment? Again, in the book, Randy Alcorn just really weaves just really gets your thoughts going. As there's going to be all kinds of culture as we live on this earth. All of this stuff, y'all, will bring us closer to worshiping God. It'll draw us closer to him. Why not art? Art to the glory of God. Why not drama? Drama to the glory of God. Right? What about sports? Again, why not? You're saying, man, dude, this is so unspiritual. See, again, but we should do all to the glory of God here on this earth, right? Everything that we do, we should do to the glory of God. Whether you're drawing a picture, whether you're cooking, whether you're sewing, it should be all to the glory of God. That is not unspiritual, right? Everything that we do should bring honor to him. Maybe we won't play sports. But why wouldn't we? Right? There's this continuity from this world to the life to come. Boy, some of the great things is sitting around playing a game or watching a game on football. Me and Cliff watched that game last night, Alabama and Georgia. Great day in the morning. What a game. You know? And it brings food. I mean, food, sports. I mean, your fellowship. Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know, y'all. I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. What about free time? Perhaps in eternity, we'll have so much free time to go exploring. Maybe we'll go and explore the galaxies. Hey, Corey, Jody, Kara, what y'all going to do today? I think I'm going to get on a spaceship and go check out Mars. All right, we'll see you in a little bit. Bye-bye. And I go up there. And I'm up there and I'm worshiping God. Why not? Why not? Right? So, and maybe we'll be able to do things. Man, we're going to have eternity. You know, I love to travel. I wish I could travel more. I wish I could go. That's the kind of way I am. I don't like to sit too long in one spot. I want to get up and go. And I want to see things. If I'm here, if I'm somewhere new, I want to go see what's around it. I don't want to sit in one spot. I get bored. And maybe if I don't get a chance on this earth to go see Australia, to go see the Swiss Alps, maybe, just maybe, on the new earth, we'll go exploring and worship God with everything we see. We're going to have eternity. You know, God's going to make a new heavens, a new earth, man. I mean, wow. Where are you going today? I think I'm going to go check out Saturn. Last time I went to Saturn, I only saw one part of the ring, so I'm going to go check out the other side. I don't know. You know, when God's going to make these new heavens and new earths, why would God make them if no one's going to see them? Because everything is made for Him. We were made for Him, right? And so when He makes these new heavens and new earths, it just doesn't seem like no one's going to know anything about them. It seems more realistic that we're going to know God's going to teach us, and we're going to worship Him as we learn more about the galaxies. So maybe, just maybe, we'll go travel. Maybe He'll give us X-ray vision. I don't know. But why not? Is there anything sinful about that, right? What about other beings? Well, the Bible doesn't say either way. We're going to rule over people. We'll probably rule over each other, obviously. Angels. We will judge angels, the Bible says. It doesn't say anything about other creatures. But you know what? God is a creator. Why not? I don't know. But doesn't it get your mind going? God's imagination is much bigger than ours. And it sounds like science fiction that other creatures will be. But, you know, who knows what God's going to do on this new heaven and new earth? He doesn't. I'm sure He hasn't told us everything in His Word. A couple more things, and then we'll get back to our time. What about traveling in time? Look at this verse, and it's a very fascinating verse. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the coming ages, in other words, heaven, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. What might that verse mean? That verse might mean that God will say, okay, the movies today in room 14, please go. There's going to be a showing of the crossing of the Red Sea. And those of you that weren't there, you'll be wanting to see this one. The riches of God's grace. Please show up at 3 o'clock in room 14. And so at 3 o'clock, we all go. And boom, we watch. Maybe we're there in 3D. I know some of y'all are thinking, man, who is this clown up here? I mean, he's talking about all kinds of, where is he getting this foolishness? Who, get him off the stage. Again, what we're doing is we're letting our brains go, right? Why not? Why couldn't this happen? God's going to show us, says, you want to see My grace? Let Me show you what happened. I don't know, y'all. Maybe it won't happen like this. But why not? And so maybe we'll experience it. Maybe we'll see it. We'll definitely talk to people. We'll definitely get to talk to Moses and see what it was like. I don't know whether God will actually put us back in time, whether we'll. I know it sounds far-fetched, doesn't it? Why not? Is it sinful? Right? I don't know. Well, it sure sounds exciting, though, don't it? It's a possibility. Why not? Right? He's going to show us. He is going to show the incomparable riches of His grace. Maybe that means, don't want to be dogmatic, but maybe that means that we'll get to see it. I don't know if this has anything to do with traveling back in time. Maybe it does, if that's even possible, but we'll definitely get to talk about these things. Hey, God, when I prayed about that issue, we just had that memory verse that Tom just took us through, that when we knock, that You answer. And we call on You, and You answer. So, God, can You show me what happened when I prayed? God says, I got eternity to tell you, buddy. Sit down. Remember that time on October the 1st, which is tomorrow, I think, whatever today is, September 30th, when you prayed for blah, 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 blah? Let me tell you what your prayer did.
Why not?
God, how did my prayers move the hand of God? The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man, woman, availeth much. God, can you tell me what my prayers did? Now that'll be cool. Does that motivate you to pray? God, can you show me what my guardian angel did? God, can you show me how you guided? Can you show me the circumstances? Can you show me what you did, God, when I was trying to make this decision? Can you show me what you did? Because it'll all cause us to worship God. How you guided me, how you protected me. We'll say, wow, God, I should have prayed more. Now, this is going back to where we're going here, but I got 10 minutes or so. I'm going to hit Luke now. What will we do in heaven? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to have a job. Now, you remember in our passage here, do you remember what these guys got? The guy who got 10 minas more and the one that got 5 more, they were put in charge of cities, verse 17. And in verse 19, we're going to serve God. And the kingdom is not just 1,000 years, y'all. Oftentimes we think that it's just going to be during the millennium that we serve God. God's kingdom, we're going to reign forever and ever. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It don't just, it's 1,000 years and that's it. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So we will serve God. But now let's draw some conclusions now about service. Because the service that we'll do in heaven is tied into what we do here on earth. Okay? Interesting. All of these 10 guys, they got the same amount. God had 10 minas and each of them got one. One for you, one for you, one for you. There are 10 of them. All of you get one. All of you get one. Okay? So everybody got one. But they brought in different amounts back to God. Well, now, we only know of 3 of them in our text. But they all brought a different amount back to give to God. So what do we have as Christians that is the same? Now, there's another set of, let me go back, let me just close that just for a second. There's another parable that Jesus tells about the talents. And you get more talents than this guy. And you get more talents than that guy, right? But this one, everybody gets the same thing. Get the same thing. So what do we as Christians have that is the same? Well, one is we all have one life to live. We all have 24 hours in a day. You don't have more than me. I don't have more than you. Now, our lifespans are different, yes. But we all have one life. And we all have 24 hours. But we also have the gospel. Look at what Paul says. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. You and I, if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, have been entrusted with the gospel. And so Jesus in this parable says, here, I want you to occupy until I come. I've given you the gospel. I've given you the gospel. I've given you the gospel. And you get it too. You get the gospel. Now go, 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 and let's watch what happens. Each of us, if we're saved, has been given the gospel. Y'all, we're going to be held accountable for what we've done with what God has given all of us. We're held accountable. Now, the rewards are based on faithfulness. Yes, you got to be faithful. But it's not just faithfulness. It's also being successful. The one guy brought 10 minus more. The other guy brought 5 more. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. I can't save nobody. You're right. Neither can I. Well, then how in the world are we supposed to, how do we get 10 more, 5 more? God's the only one that can save. That is correct. I have never saved anybody. I never will save anybody. I can't save nobody. I can't save myself. So how do we make this where the one guy brought 10 and one brought 5 and one guy was just so scared he didn't do nothing? Well, as we conclude today, let's see if we can figure this out. Now, please remember, these rewards are affecting how we are to serve God in heaven one day. Because, you look at the bottom, God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. This is not just a 1,000-year deal, 1,000-year reign. Yes, that's part of it, absolutely. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So we're talking about heaven. All right, number one, there's two things I think we can get as we conclude. Why do some people have 10 and some have 5 and some don't do nothing? Well, first off, you got to understand the guy at the bottom, he had no faith. He was scared, right? In fact, he was more fearful of God than more trusting in God. And this is a big one for me, y'all, because I don't do this well. I tend to give up easy. For instance, this person ain't getting saved. I can just tell you, we've been praying for him for years. He ain't getting saved. In fact, I don't even think I'm going to invite him to church no more. That's what I do, to my shame. I don't give God a chance to prove his power. Is anything too hard for me, Jeff? Is anything too hard for me, bro? Then you keep praying for him. You keep inviting him. You don't give up. Give me a chance, is what God is saying. Give me a chance to show my power. You giving up. Right? And this guy here, he said, oh, I was so scared. That's me. I just gave up. Guys, we got to give God a chance to prove himself. And God wants us to walk by faith. It's not going to be easy. He wants us to walk by faith. Do not give up in what God can do, because we can't save nobody. Okay? So that's the first thing. I'm looking at the clock. It's 12 o'clock. All right, so let me wrap up. Here's the second part as we close. I think sometimes the other problem is not only do we not have faith in God, but we're not allowing God to do his work. We're trying to do God's work. Look at these famous verses. Jesus says, God, my Father's always at his work. And I too am working. The Son can do nothing, you and I, can do nothing by ourselves. He can only do what he sees God the Father doing. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Guys, here we go. You ready? I think one of the problems is the reason why the one guy brought 10 back and the one guy brought 5 back is sometimes we do this. Hey, God, I got a plan. Ooh, God, I want to do this for you. I think I know what I want to do for you. And I want you to bless it. And God says, but I'm over here working. Yeah, but God, I got a plan. I'm going to come right here and I'm going to do this work. I want you to come over here and bless it. God says, I'm over here working. This is what I'm doing. And you need to come join me in my work, If you come over here, you're going to get blessed. Yeah, but God, I got a great plan, and I think it's going to just explode. Come over here and bless this. God says, I'm over here. Come here. Right here is where you're going to see blessing. Guys, unless the Lord builds the house, we just doing nothing. We're laboring in vain. We got to find out where God is working, how God is working. Maybe things 50 years ago worked like this, whatever. And God says, you know what? That's what worked 50 years ago. It don't work like that no more, as far as, you know, style and traditions. It's a new day with new technology and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm doing a new thing. This ain't 60 years ago. This is today. Come join me. And so I ask all of us, are we joining God? Or do we have a plan? We got to find out where God's working. We got to join him in his work. And you know what? God's going to reward. Well done. What we want to hear is this: well done, good and faithful servant. Right? I've given you a little, and now I'm going to put you in charge of much. Heaven's going to be awesome. You only get there by faith. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus, knowing that you're a sinner on your way to hell. And you say, God, save me, and he'll save you. I know I'm a sinner. I need your blood to save me from my sins. And then God wants us to live our life here in a way that honors him. If you want to talk, I'll be up here. I'm going to stay up here today. I'm not going to go back to the back. If you want to talk, I'll be up here. And let's close in prayer. Lord, we look forward to heaven. It's just a great future that you've given us, Lord. I pray if there's anybody here, Lord. I don't know most of the people in the pews, Lord. And I don't know where they stand with you. And maybe they're here visiting. Maybe they're here and they've been church members all their life. And Lord, they know that if they died today, they would go to hell. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these souls, Lord, would think about eternity. Oh, God, may they see how much you love them. Lord, I just pray that they would call on you for salvation. Today is the day of salvation, we are reminded. And God, I just pray, God, for all of us who love you and are left here, Lord, until you set up your eternal kingdom. And I just pray, God, that you would help us to find out where you're working, to have faith in you and not give up, Lord, so that we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So give us a great week. I pray for Grove Park, Lord, guide them. And I just pray that you'd bring in people, Lord, new people from these neighborhoods that are springing up all around, Lord. I just pray that we would be concerned about souls, Lord, all around us, that we would invite people, that we would give you a chance to show what you can do. We wouldn't give up, God. I pray for the believers here, Lord. Strengthen them, encourage them. Lord, may there be growth here at Grove Park Chapel. In Jesus' name, amen.